You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's the spirit.
Come in, Peter.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Welcome. Welcome to 2017, 95BFM. How's it going?
Excellent. It is a pleasure.
Hey, I'm joined by old mate Bridge here again, I should let you know.
How are you
excellent,
doing,
very good.
Hey, what's on the menu? Anything get up in your grill over the holiday period?
Yeah, well, I have been watching the developing story of the debate over the people who Trump has chosen. I can't call him President Trump yet. To provide a bit of religious content at the inauguration. Now, if he manages to get six people doing the religious bit, I presume this inauguration is going to be a monster performance. It's going to go on and on forever.
Right, right.
And so let's cover it before it happens.
I think everyone's waiting for like the zany impact to really like hit home when he's like, right, you know, like, all ice creams in America are free or some weird crap like that, you know. Like,
It's just got to be so zany because the people he has chosen to speak at his inauguration just represent this quite unusual way in which, well, lack of judgment and very strong opinions come to show out. So it's balanced in one way in that he's managed to produce a Catholic, a Jew, a Hispanic,
walk into a bar?
And yes. And three Protestants of slightly different varieties, but not very much.
Right.
But apart from that, I mean, I think within those choices, they're really, really surprising solutions.
Right.
And that they tell us a lot about Trump. Because at the time, you know, Trump has played the religious game quite effectively. I mean, Americans are naive enough, it would seem to me, to fall for the offer of something that sounds religious when it doesn't seem very religious to the rest of us.
Does he claim to be like Christian kind of thing? I didn't really follow like what his rants were on about, but was he kind of like, you know, Jesus told me that I'm supposed to be the one kind of thing? Or what was his angle?
It wasn't particularly convincing that he could come up with that, but he liked to be seen. He recognized that getting certain votes was quite important.
Yes.
And so he played the evangelical card a bit and astonishingly wooed them remarkably successfully, considering that there'd been just a whole range of evangelical candidates, Mike Huckabee and the like, who had stood to try to get the presidential nomination. You can see that by making gestures at his inauguration, he does no harm to anybody, I suppose.
Mm.
But they're certainly not healing measures. They're statements about the sort of... They're rewards, plus their statements about the sort of religion he will like to have around them. It's not inspiring, I have to say.
Right.
So shall I just unpack the little pile?
Please do, please do.
Okay. So the only one that's probably likely to be known here is Franklin Graham, who's the son of Billy Graham. Not exactly a chip off the old block, though, because he's much more conservative, fundamentalist, anti-gay, whereas Billy Graham has been cunning enough to, you know, play down some of the more fundamentalist parts of his repertoire and always cooperating with others. Franklin does no cooperating. So that's pretty striking. But Franklin had endorsed Trump, and so that's not again surprising. The second one that's caused considerable consternation is a woman called Paula White. And so Paula White was accused by the Southern Baptists, who ought to know, that she's not a real Christian at all.
Mm-hmm.
So Paula White is a prosperity teacher. So she runs a kind of a hip Pentecostal program where she seems to go for feel-good factors. Her personal life and the like doesn't suggest that there's a lot of strong moral conviction lying behind this, but there's a great deal of following. So there you are.
Mm-hmm.
She gave Trump a Bible signed with a prophetic word for his 60th birthday. So, shit, that's how she got in.
Rad.
That's all you need to
they,
do.
They managed to find a Catholic archbishop.
Hey, sorry, Peter, just before you carry on.
Yeah, sure.
What, just for everybody, what is this assemble your crew whole scenario for?
So this is inauguration. So at the inauguration, when he's sworn into office, they various people will get to do various sort of lineups. One will pray, one will do a Bible reading, one will do a blessing. It seems to be there's too many people.
What a spectacle. All,
yes, it's going to go on and on, I think, a bit. But maybe they'll just put a face in, and that'll be great for their constituency. I guess what makes me think this is going to be a very long event, this inauguration.
Right.
And it's so cold that, you know, you do wonder if half of them will in fact be frozen statues by the time the whole thing is over. But
Who else is on the hit list? Sorry, let's...
So on the hit list also, we've got Samuel Rodriguez, who is a Latino evangelical who originally endorsed one of Trump's opposition for the Republican nomination, but has sort of come around. This is the one where you could say he's trying to make peace with the group because this is...
He was pretty nasty towards Hispanic.
Yeah, precisely. Hispanics aren't his favorite people, but this is a good Hispanic. So he makes it. Timothy Dolan, this is Archbishop, and a Catholic archbishop who is renowned for his conservatism, his pro-Israel stance, and various aspects like that. To put someone in the same direction, we've also got Rabbi Marvin Heer of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, well known for its staunch defense of Israel, and Bishop Wayne Jackson, who remarkably threw a prayer shawl around Trump's shoulders. Now, these are the evangelical pro-Israel factions who are pretty strong in the States.
Right.
And of course, we've got good reason to think that U.S. policy will go back to the staunchly pro-Israel, you know, approach under Trump. And that, I think all the signals are there with these invitations. What a strange lineup, isn't it?
It does sound like a motley crew. I guess he's just got to tick all the boxes now because he's in repair mode a lot. He's pissed a lot of people off, right?
Well, at times he's in repair mode, and at times it seems to me he just can't control himself, and it's just, you know, too
he's,
much
he's a massive narcissist. I mean, it is hard for him to control himself, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true, and I presume that the whole of the presidency is going to be pretty much like this. You know, he's brought under control briefly, and then he's out doing, you know, wild actions. Whether they actually amount to anything is another question, but that's what we don't know about the presidency. The inauguration's all symbolism.
I like to think that nothing is Trump's fault exclusively. I like to think that it's actually his toupee controlling everything behind it. It's like tapped into his brain and he's pulling sort of strings like Ratatouille or something.
Well, he must have a hot head, mustn't he, I would think. Yes, it's a bit of a worry because the toupee might make him blow a stack at the point when we just do not need that kind of thing.
True. Oh man, it's always interesting talking about old Trump dog, isn't it? Hey, Peter, I was meant to ask you. We got a flyer in our letterbox because I live in Grafton, which is really close to where the new Scientology joint is opening.
Oh, yes. So you got invited.
Yes. Should I go? Are you going to go? Do you want to be my date? How do we attend these things?
Let's do it together.
I'm afraid I'm weak of mind, and I'll just be like, this science religion is great. This guy's such a great writer. I like his work.
They'll do a slick show.
It's this Saturday. I might attend and just do a little report on it.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting thing because, you know, it's the old Methodist training center hasn't been used like that for years, and then it was the Independent Art School.
Right.
I believe they've done it up extremely nicely and had a lot of money from wealthy American showbiz characters. Considering that there are very few Scientologists in New Zealand, it's very interesting that they've really made a grand finish, I gather, to the building. So that's why I'm keen to go, to just see what it looks like.
And it's such a large building as well.
Where is it exactly?
You can see it on the motorway. It's right on the corner near the hospital, looking down on the motorway. And it's a fine old stone building built in the 1930s. It's the Methodist Trinity College.
Okay.
And I presume it'll have a few banners on it in future.
Right on. Okay, cool. Well, maybe we'll visit this next Monday and see.
Could be fun.
See what
could
we learn. If I'm still around, maybe I would have been fully inducted, and I'll be having one of my shock therapies.
Save you. I'll save you.
And keep each other in check.
Very good.
Hey, thanks, Peter. We'll catch up next week.
Excellent. Good see night. You. Bye-bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.